Brandon on CFAX 1070.
Very exciting news coming from the University of Victoria. Joining us on the line for a discussion is Dr. Jim Tanaka, Director of UVic Center for Autism Research, Technology, and Education. Jim, great to have you back on CFAX 1070.
Thanks. All right, it's great to be here.
Talk about the great news, because it sounds like it's certainly a day for celebration.
Okay, well, so today we're announcing the launch of our Center for Autism Research, Technology, and Education. So what this really is our kind of coming out party, where we have a fantastic team of UVic undergrads and graduate students who have been working on developing new technologies for people with autism. We know latest reports is that almost like one out of every 12 males are diagnosed with autism. And what we're doing is developing computer-based interventions to help these kids with autism.
Now, to put this into perspective, Jim, what is it like to have this kind of setup, this kind of construct, these kind of resources to focus on this field?
Right. So we're so fortunate to be here at UVic, where we've put together teams of researchers, primarily in psychology, who help us sort of understand the cognitive basis of autism. That is, how do kids with autism think? We know that individuals with autism struggle and have challenges with sort of social interactions. So we try to identify what's going on at a kind of psychological level with kids with autism. And then from the research, we can develop what we think are effective technologies. So we have another team of students who are primarily in computer science, who are developing some really cool applications using iPads and webcams to develop some just some really neat software for these kids, and that we then test out in the field to see how effective they are.
Jim, you talked about the numbers and what we're seeing in terms of the frequency of diagnosis. This has become a very important issue for a lot of parents all across North America, if not all across the world. Do you feel as though we've been struggling to play catch-up to a degree?
Yeah, I think there's a bit of the catch-up. There's also just trying to just understanding what autism is. I think the in order to develop sort of treatments, we really have to understand the core symptoms. And so a lot of our work is just trying to get a grasp on what the experience of a person with autism is and how they sort of view the world that is different. I think that's an important point, that is kind of our perspective is treating autism or considering autism as a difference rather than a deficit, because we know that individuals with autism, while they might struggle with certain aspects of their everyday lives, there are other areas where they excel, so that they have incredible powers of perceptual sort of attention and attention to detail. So it's sort of taking sort of the strengths of individuals with autism and trying to capitalize on those strengths.
I'd like to talk about some of the innovation that we've seen in this field, but you've also touched on something very crucial. We talk about what the field of research is doing to get a better handle on autism, but what about the public? Do you get the sense there's enough education for the public to understand what we're talking about?
Yeah, so I think one of the really things that we're excited about at the center, so it's kind of research technology, and the last acronym, last letter is E for education. So a lot of our work then is devoted to getting out into the community to sort of educating parents, teachers, kids about the things we're doing. But probably more importantly is for us to become educated about what autism is like on the ground. That is, I can't tell you how many times we've had great ideas from research suggesting suggested by parents, because in terms of autism, I really think that it's the parents and the teachers who are the experts in this area. So this is really what we consider a collaborative effort. And so the real aspect of the center that we're excited about, and we're having this open house this afternoon, is we want to invite all the community members to come in and to contribute to the research we're doing, so that from the ground level, they're involved in our work.
And I think it starts with even some of the language, where as we may have colloquially referred to this as autism, we now understand that there's a spectrum to this disorder or disorders. There's more than one kind or type or I guess depth of autism.
Right. You know, I think this idea of a continuum is so critical in how we approach autism or virtually any sort of clinical deficit. That is, we all lie on a spectrum, and that it's not one size fits all. And trying to understand how autism might affect the individual and how we might develop strategies and approaches to that would be most effective for that individual.
Absolutely. Well, and while it is an individual that you deal with, it really is a family or a parental affair as well, too, is it not?
Right. So that you really have to take sort of a more holistic view in looking how a child who has autism influences the family dynamics and the school dynamics and the community dynamics, and try to think about ways of addressing autism from this more kind of macro point of view. So I think that's why we want to include the parents and families and teachers in our research endeavors.
So you talk about what we've got at our disposal. Talk about how we blend that, you know, with all this passion and all these people. How do we blend that with these emerging or innovative technologies?
Right. So I think the biggest boom in autism, but probably in special education, in clinical psychology in general, is these tablet-based devices, you know, the iPads. Because now what you have is a very portable device that is comes with a touch screen, and so there's this immediacy to the iPad that you just don't get in a regular computer. And now you marry that with the latest sort of versions of these tablets, which have a camera, and it becomes a really powerful intervention tool. Because one of the applications we're trying to develop in our lab is using the camera as a way to capture the content that we then use in our programs. So we are developing a program called iScrapbook, where the child can take pictures of himself or his friends or siblings or parents or teachers, and then that becomes the content for the games that we're developing. So the biggest challenge in autism is developing programs that are going to touch into address the child's real world needs. And so the concept behind the iScrapbook is to use people from the child's everyday life as part of the treatment intervention.
And what's the value in that, you know, populating this program with images that and faces that the child recognizes?
Well, I think it makes it real. It's no longer sort of an abstract treatment, and in fact, we'll see where this goes, right? But it might be that this device becomes a way of connecting with other people. That is, we know the power of social media as a way of developing new relationships, new friendships. But if you have this device like the iPad, it's a way of another venue for connecting with people. And then you can now imagine having a classroom of kids with these iPads that are taking pictures and sharing pictures of one another. It's a way to build social community.
And how important are those connections?
Well, I think they're essential. The one challenge that individuals with autism struggle with is making social connections. So providing different avenues for making contact with others, I think, is sort of critical to treating autism.
We're speaking with Dr. Jim Tanaka, director of UVic Center for Autism Research, Technology, and Education. So let's talk about possibility. Where do you see the center going, Jim? And because you certainly sound ebullient. You sound very, very charged.
Yeah, well, it's evolving. I mean, we're having our open house today. We're going to see, lots of people from the community will come, lots of folks from the university. We'll see where the synergy builds. But, you know, the fantastic thing with the world we live in is that we can be the hub for, you know, North America, if not the world. Our website already gets hits from, you know, all over the world. And I think if you bring people together with different talents, so we have people who have, you know, research talents and understanding sort of cognitive science of autism. We have the expertise of some very fine programmers in our computer science department here to understand how to develop effective programs and computer-human interface. And then we got a fantastic outreach team who've been working in the community now for the last year, 2 years, and know about the challenges of doing outreach. Because I think one of the things we've discovered is that it's one thing to do the research and to develop sort of treatments, but then probably as big a hurdle is then how do you get the word out to the community? How do you educate the community to kind of use these tools effectively? And so we're learning as we're going. And that's the wonderful thing is we have such a fantastic team of students here at UVic.
I don't think that should be undersold. I think a lot of people are somewhat... I don't know. What I really like hearing in you talk is the engagement with the public, with the parents, with the community at large. And I think sometimes that's missing when we talk about either academia or research, Jim.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Murray. I mean, sometimes, you know, researchers, now I'm a basic researcher. I spent the first 10, 15 years of my career is kind of locked away in a lab, and that was fine because I do kind of work in sort of basic mechanisms and neural mechanisms of how people recognize faces. That's fine. But then once you start getting out and addressing sort of real-world issues, I think it's so crucial then to stay connected with the people that you're working with. And I think these are the folks that we learn the most about the, in this case, autism, and establish this sort of collaborative research enterprise with the folks that we are serving. If you're asking me what, you know, what's the most exciting part of our center, I'd have to say that. I'd have to say maybe our the wonderful contacts we've made in the community with the families and organizations who work with kids with autism or families of autism. So I think that's if there's excitement in this in our work, it really comes. It's fueled by sort of the enthusiasm and energy of the people in the community.
And having met some parents who have autistic children, one of the common complaints is as soon as the diagnosis comes, there's an instant absence or gap of information. And there's
right.
a struggle to understand what ASD means, what it means for them, their child, and the future.
Right.
And you couple that with the stress and the anxiety, and boy, you can leave people in sort of a downward mental spiral.
Right. And we make no promises, right? I mean, if you look at the autism literature, the research, there are very few science-based, when what they call it, evidence-based treatments for autism. Everything is at the kind of, we're at an exploratory stage in treatment intervention. So we are very open about that. We have, there's no magic bullet here, but we have developed computer-based programs to help kids with autism recognize faces. And we have done the formal, what's called a randomized clinical trial, to show that you do get some improvement using this our software, which can be downloaded for free from our site. So just to give a plug, if folks Google Let's Face It Autism, they can go to our site, download our software, which really targets face face processing, because we know kids with autism struggle with their face processing, understanding emotions, recognizing the identity of face. And folks can download the software for free. It's both in a Windows and Mac-based platforms. And there you go. And there is some evidence that supports, you know, using the software. And I should say that that's the other philosophy of our center, is that we develop tools and we do the science to establish the effectiveness of the tools. But our goal is then, once we've established the effectiveness, is to make it freely available to the public. This is not, we're not developing software to sell. We're, you know, hopefully developing software that might help somebody, but cost should not be a factor.
At the end of the day, that's what we'd like to see. Jim, congratulations, and thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks, Murray, and hopefully folks can come out to our open house today at 4:30, from 4:30 to 6:30 at UVic in the David Strong building. Look for the red balloons, and it's, again, CART, Center for Autism Research, Technology, and Education.
That's, again, at UVic's David Strong building, room C112, and as Jim suggests, look for the balloons, and more information can be found on the university's website, uvic.ca. Jim, all the best.
Thanks, Murray.
Take care.
Bye.
Jim Tanaka joining us on the line from University of Victoria's CART Center, Center for Autism Research, Technology, and Education. News to 10 o'clock is next. A mayoralty candidate has...